This is Neijing Now, prioritizing well-being. Neijing is the vitality that shields us from disease. Neijing Now, demystifying medicine, cultivating resilience, empowering host resistance, prioritizing primary prevention. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander. I welcome you to another short clip exploring Neijing Now. I'm here with Dr. Dan Gilchrist. He's a dentist in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and he's got a great program where he buys candy back from Halloween trick-or-treaters. Dr. Dan Gilchrist, welcome to Neijing Now.
Oh, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your candy buyback program?
Yes, the way it works is that kids love to trick-or-treat. Often they get caught up in a moment in the excitement of it. And when they get done, they end up with way more candy than they either need or that's healthy for them. And so the thought is to give them an opportunity to unload some of that candy and make a profit in exchange. So what we'll do is every pound they bring in, we'll give them $1 per pound. Then we'll take that candy and box it up and send it to Operation Gratitude, which will then distribute it to the troops and armed forces around the world. In addition to that, we have a matching program where we'll give 50 cents for every dollar we give to them to the local schools for their programs.
Wow, fantastic. Did you come up with this idea?
My wife actually was doing this with our kids when they were small. She would actually see the candy they would have and offer to buy. Usually it was with them when it was small. It was more like a nickel for several pieces. We weren't envisioning this sort of program at the time. Years later then, my office manager, Stephanie, heard about Operation Gratitude and how they were looking for donations. Candy was one of the things they were looking for, amongst other things. She thought that this would be a great idea, that if we could get the kids to give it to us, then we could give it to them. And yeah, it would be a win situation for everyone.
Yeah, that sounds like a win-win situation. Fantastic. You mentioned sometimes kids get more candy than they need. Now, I'm going to ask you as a dentist, how much candy do kids need?
How much they need? They actually don't need much at all. I don't say never. I guess my philosophy is enjoy in moderation. We all know that it's harmful to the teeth as well as the overall body. But yeah, it's actually what they need. They probably don't really need any of it, but I know they enjoy it.
I think part of the fun of trick-or-treating is just going around and, you know, meeting your neighbors and putting on your costumes, and the candy's sort of the secondary part of it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're having so much fun doing that. It's just fun going to the doors and, like you said, have the neighbors see what you're dressed up as. And the more they get into it, they end up with sometimes a big bag of stuff that probably more than they ever anticipated.
How popular has your program been? Because I could imagine that a lot of kids don't actually want to give up their candy.
Yeah, I often wonder about that. How many are giving it up on their own and how many are being strongly encouraged by their parents? We've been averaging about 200 pounds a time, and we usually just run it one evening for a couple hours. We were considering doing an evening like that, but then letting people come anytime during the course of a week just to see if we'll get more.
So 200 pounds of candy in a community of about 40,000, is that right?
Yeah, that's probably pretty close between Stevens Point and Plover and some of the smaller suburbs.
How much candy do you think is actually out there on Halloween Eve?
Boy, I have no idea, but it's got to be, it's probably tons.
So how are we going to grow your program? Because I think it's a fantastic idea.
We're just started, actually this fall, started with social media, Facebook and stuff. So we're going to try next year, hopefully be up and running enough that we can get the word out that way a little bit more in advance. We got good coverage this year with the local TV station came down and in the newspapers, word of mouth, and some of those other outlets will get the word out a little better.
I wonder if you could get the candy companies to do it.
Yeah, that'd be a thought. I'll have to put Stephanie on that.
It'd be a little bit silly. First they're selling the candy, then they're buying it back. But, you know, probably better for all of us if they did that.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
What recommendations would you give to people giving out Halloween candy for alternatives, more healthy alternatives, or things that are still fun and safe and difficult to tamper with and still, you know, not as detrimental to the teeth and the body?
Yeah, that's a challenge. And we at our own house look for things like that. And I know the kids enjoy the chocolates and the sweets, so you want to make them happy that way. But like I said, at our house for many years now, we just give them a toothbrush with it and tell them to tell them to make sure they brush after eating it. I see some where they'll go to other type of snacks that are prepackaged.
Well, I think the toothbrush idea is a novel idea. It's not as fun as getting candy. But also we have to keep in mind that given what we're learning about the toxicity of sugar, the effects of sugar are not only on the mouth and teeth, but also on the rest of the body, the metabolic effects and the inflammatory effects and the immune suppression. Perhaps it's fitting that on Halloween Eve we give out a poison. But, I mean, it would take a pretty big cultural overhaul to start giving out something that was an antidote to the poison. I mean, basically it comes down to what we value and what our taste buds value.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I like the way you put that. You're exactly right that getting society to switch would be a pretty big undertaking, but I guess it's got to start somewhere.
Exactly. Every cultural change begins with an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what about Operation Gratitude? You know, if we're really thinking about the health and well-being of our soldiers, you know, they're already in a pretty toxic situation, sending them candy. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have thought of that. I was wondering how thinly they distribute it or whether it goes in bucket loads. You know, the dental health care in the field, it's harder to maintain good dental health. Yeah, because we'd hate to be doing harm somewhere else, taking the harm from one source and giving it to someone else.
Yeah, taking the harm from one population and redistributing it. Not only is dental care difficult in the field, but also mental health is difficult in the field. And we know that sugar does cause a lot of fluctuations in our mental balance with all the soldiers coming back with a lot of PTSD, post-traumatic stress symptoms, that the less sugar they have, probably the better.
I think you're right on with that there.
You're basically just doing your best to take as much of the refined sugar out of circulation as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, excellent. Your intention is absolutely beautiful. Are you thinking of doing this on other high candy holidays or high sweet holidays such as Easter and Valentine's Day?
I guess we hadn't thought about expanding yet.
Have you put this out to other dentists?
I guess we haven't actively done that. The guys in the local area that's in the newspaper and it's been on TV and stuff, so I'm guessing they've been seeing it or hearing of it.
Well, you know, I always think of Halloween as the launch into the sugar season. And I used to actually abstain from all refined sugar from October 1st through May 1st. And that way I would miss Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Valentine's Day, and Easter. And then I'd come back to summer where I was more active and I'd allow myself some indulgences over the summer months, but October 1st to May 1st, I just abstained from all refined sugar.
It's pretty impressive, especially during those seasons, because it's hard to avoid it. Everywhere you go over those holidays, it's available and being offered to you. It can give you a lot of credit if you're able to do that.
Yeah, I did it for many years, at least 10 years I did it when I was living in Wisconsin, basically. My activity levels would go down during those months because it's freezing cold and the snow is piled high and, you know, there's a lot of movie watching going on. Even just a simple caloric load of the extra sugar for these holidays, it really helped me to just maintain my weight and fitness.
Did you feel other benefits during that time?
You know, I don't think I was as sensitive to those things. Now I can tell because I have stopped putting sugar in my tea and, you know, really avoid it as much as possible. And I do feel I have more energy, more even energy throughout the day.
It's interesting is that, like you mentioned earlier, can definitely fluctuate the energy levels and your general well feeling.
Absolutely. And I also don't get any cavities anymore.
Excellent. That's what you like to hear. So yeah, they are avoidable if you've got good diet, good hygiene. Yeah, it's definitely a preventable disease.
Well, I want to congratulate you on a really brilliant idea and a very important public message that it's great. You can enjoy the holidays, you can enjoy Halloween and go trick-or-treating, enjoy the celebration of all these events that we have, and you've offered a way to mitigate the harms.
Thank you very much. Yeah, hopefully we can make a switch in the thinking process of some people as far as the amount of sugars that we're all taking in.
Yeah, we should think of alternative ways to celebrate.
That would be the ideal.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Gilchrist. I really was thrilled to hear about your program, and I'm honored to be speaking with you live in person.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure meeting and talking with you. I hope you get back this way more often.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Dan Gilchrist, a dentist in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, creator of Nanjing Now, a podcast about prioritizing well-being, on the web at neijingnow.org. Nanjing Now is independent and entirely listener-supported. If you enjoyed the clip, please share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook and donate generously. Your support is essential to keeping Nanjing Now alive.